लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today we are going on the other side of the world. We are leaving the US. We are going down under. I talked with the Queen, with Lisa from Vertical Drama Queen. And today I have my first actor from Australia. And I'm really excited to talk about him. How's the vertical world in down under? So I say hello to Anthony Dawal and welcome in my podcast. Hi, good morning. Hi. By the way,
thank you for having me and good evening to you.
Thanks. Yeah, the good thing is at his side of the world it's already 8 a.m in the morning and he's sitting here with a cup of coffee, and for me it's really bedtime, so the podcast is totally international. And I'm very happy to get some information about doing verticals in Australia. So, Anthony, how long are you doing verticals in Australia now?
Well, I was in the second vertical that was ever filmed in Australia. So that was June of 2023.
Well, that's early.
Yeah, yeah. The very first one in Australia was shot maybe 2 weeks or so before this one was shot. And I auditioned for that. I didn't get it. And then the second one came up. I auditioned for that and I got in. And
Did you know what a vertical was at this time when you auditioned for it?
I didn't know. I had no inkling of what it would become at all. It was just sort of, another little paycheck at the time, and a fun chance to be on set and hang out with some other actors and make something. I sort of recognized the format and the style, you know, the sort of pulpy romance novel Mills and Boone kind of tone to the storytelling, the sort of broad characters and crazy plot lines.
Crazy plot lines, that's it.
That's
it.
it definitely has evolved a lot since 2023.
What was your first vertical? A classic billionaire CEO stuff or a werewolf one? Or what was your first one?
I guess it was a billionaire CEO one. It was...
Do you know the title of it?
It's called Mr. Johnston, Don't Torment Her. I'm not sure where it's streaming now.
Torment Her. I see crazy, some of the super titles.
It's interesting to chart the sort of development of it, because it's sort of like watching a time lapse of an artist's work, you know. Mm-hmm. you start out with sort of the rough sketch of what it could be, and then, you know, the lines start to take shape and the colors get added, and at that time it was the rough outlines of what verticals were going to become.
Did you already know about the pace, that it's so fast moving in shooting?
I knew from the fact that I had the whole script, which was maybe 150 pages or something like that, and we had I'm trying to remember. I think it was maybe 10 days to shoot the whole thing. And so I just did the math in my head. It's that, like, oh, we got 10 days, we got 150 pages, like we gotta hammer through this. So
Was
yeah.
it a bit of shocking?
We have a couple of quite well-known soap operas in Australia, Neighbours, Home and Away, and I have a few friends that work on them. I haven't worked on them myself, but it's a very similar sort of pace there. So I have heard of what it was like, but that was my first experience with it. So it was a good challenge. Let's
And what were
frame
your
it like that.
thoughts after you finished the shooting? Did you think, what the heck was that? Or did you think, oh, that was fun. I want to do this again?
Little of column A, little of column B.
how long did it take till you shot your second vertical? Did you need a kind of break after the first one to overthink if it's good doing this or not?
I'm trying to think because I don't think so. If my memory serves me correctly. I don't think I shot another one until the beginning of 2024.
Okay.
So I think there was a bit of a break. And then I shot another one. I can't remember what it was called. And then 2024, it was sort of bits and pieces here and there on various verticals, and I was just sort of jumping on when I could. And then I had a 3-day roll on one that's just crossed 100 million views called The Heiress Blacklisted Her Husband, which is a fairly well-known one on Reelshort, I believe. And then 2025 happened, and that's when sort of verticals became a much more prominent feature in sort of Sydney and Melbourne's filming landscape.
Have you ever done a vertical outside of Australia?
Yes, so I've shot two in China.
And how was that?
It was cool.
I got
I mean, there's
told that China days are more longer than the 12
yes,
hours.
yeah. We're quite lucky in Australia. We have a 10-hour working day on film sets. So,
Okay.
you can go longer depending on the production, but it's pretty standard to go 10 hours. Like I've had some in Australia that it's 12 hours, but yeah, the standard shooting day in China is 12 hours, and a lot of the time you go into overtime as well. So yeah, that was cool. Luckily, I tend to play supporting characters, villains, romantic rivals. So my schedule's never quite as demanding as the leads. The first one that I did in China, the leads, especially the leading female, she was averaging like 18 hours a day, I think. It was absolutely insane.
18 hours per day. Okay, so 6 hours left to sleep, to get the text for the next day to eat. Okay. Ha. Huh. So what about flying over to Europe, shooting their verticals? We
Oh,
got in Europe a lot of locations lately. Turkey, Lithuania, Italy, England. There are a
well,
lot
I have
of locations popping up.
I am half British. My mum's English, so I'd be very keen to come over. And I have submitted several auditions for Turkey, for the UK, for Canada, even as well. So just,
Do you have a double
wherever the work takes me.
citizenship? Do you have? So it
Australian,
would
British.
be easier to fly over to Europe because of the visa.
Definitely.
Huh. Yeah, so you should hang on it,
I
because
think so.
I think, or my opinion is, all stuff that was produced in Turkey is really great. It's really great in quality and storyline. Mostly of them are popped on Drama Pops, the app, but they are really great. So.
I have heard that from the people who've worked in Turkey that they're really, really good. Huge crews as well.
Danny Farber told me that the crews are bigger in Turkey and more kind of familiar because everyone is going together to have lunch and stuff like that in the evening. So it's really like a big happy family. So I think Europe is coming more and more to shoot. So in Australia, how big is this vertical space in Australia?
It's not huge, compared to China or the US, where there's so many of them being shot every day of the week. We've got a handful of production companies spread across Sydney and Melbourne, and that's really it. So it's just the two cities in Australia, which is a shame because we've got, so many interesting places that you could film. You could easily shoot a vertical, for example, in the Adelaide wine region, which is one of the foremost wine regions of the world, or up in Darwin, with the crocodiles and the sharks and
Like a
everything.
crocodile Dundee one.
Crocodile Dundee vertical. Yeah, you could totally do that. We've got a lot of interesting locations that could make for some really cool stories.
Or kind of vertical story with two backpackers.
Totally.
That would be so great and not so unrealistic than types of other stuff. That you can do a rom-com somewhere doing out backpacking in the outside.
There was one that was shot recently, and it was the first ever Australian vertical. The name escapes me, but it's about a prince who comes to hide out in Australia, and then, romantic shenanigans ensue where he meets a local girl and all the usual fun stuff. First time, I think, in a while that Australian accents have been heard on one of the vertical platforms.
Are also werewolf ones and vampire ones shot in Australia?
I've shot a werewolf one and a vampire one. They're not particularly common, but there was Vampire's Forbidden Kiss, which is on Vigeloo, and what's it called? Alpha King, Your Pregnant Luna Escaped.
The title's also stupid.
They're amazing. My personal favorite are the ones where they just have a sort of, it's almost like a plot synopsis in the
Yeah,
title,
where
and
the
it just
whole
gets
poster
longer.
is full with the title
Longer and
till
longer.
the chin, it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Yeah, you know, when I, for example, one of the shittiest title I read lately was My Ex's Uncle Put Quadruplets in Me.
Wow. I think I saw a great one. I saw a great one recently, which the interesting thing is that a lot of the time when you sign on to these projects, they have working titles, so you don't know what the title's going to be until it's released. One of the actors I worked with in China, she had one that came out called Wrong Sperm, Right Love.
Yes, I know this one. Silly. And then you should take vertical serious in this space.
Of course. I mean, look, they're a bit of fun. So, you know, it's
Yeah,
if you can't have
but
fun.
titles like that with
Oh.
sperm and put in me quadruplets, come on, really?
They're definitely trying to use shock value to boost themselves in the algorithm, you know.
And Aline, one of my review ladies from the monthly recap told us lately she read a title, and in the title was something with triplets, but in the whole show there weren't triplets. So they were only in the title. So yeah, we can work on the titles, I'm sure.
I think so.
There is a lot of improvement needed. Also, in some storylines. But
Oh, of course.
did you play always villains? Or did you
Villains.
also play some really nice guy? Or is it not in your plot?
I mean, mostly villains. I've played a couple of sort of romantic rivals. So they're usually a nice guy, but they're sort of they're still an obstacle for the protagonist, usually the male protagonist. One of my favorite scripts actually was called Cinderella's Royal Secret. It was the first one I shot in China. And that was a really solid vertical in terms of its premise. It was sort of a My Fair Lady Pygmalion story, and I was the other guy, this rich playboy, and he was framed in terms of the story. You were never quite sure whether he was going to turn out to be the antagonist or turn out to be the turn out to be someone who was more supportive. So that was a lot of fun.
And what was your changing role so far? What changed you mostly or challenged you?
I guess the two roles that I keep using for this sort of question are that one, Cinderella's Royal Secret, the character Oliver in that, and in Vampire's Forbidden Kiss, I played the main antagonist, a vampire called Draven Bloodstone, and that I was given a lot of creative license with that to play it how I wanted to.
Oh, that's
So
great.
I really lent into the whole vampire aesthetic. You know, they had me dressed up like the main bad guy from Twilight, so like very, very pale
Oh,
red
really nice
contact
costumes
lenses.
also. Oh, that's
Nice
good.
costumes. It was good. Great team as well. So those two.
And what kind of role you wanna play in a vertical?
In a vertical?
Some lovey-dovey husband with no deep side
No
or
deep dark
dark
side.
side.
I don't necessarily mind playing the villains, but I find that a lot of the villains are typically not great obstacles, in terms of the plot, and so you lose a certain amount of stakes if the villain isn't a threat, isn't a genuine threat to the protagonist, either the male or the female protagonist. So I guess some more villains like Draven, who were actually someone that challenged the protagonists in a meaningful way.
So you always want to be bad.
Sure.
Yeah, why not? Then no
Why
one
not?
expects something good from me. That's fine. I can live with
Exactly.
that.
Yeah, I can
Yeah.
live with that.
I totally understand you because of my black hairs, I even played in kindergarten in Sleeping Beauty, the Bad Witch. So I started early with 3 years, I started early as the Bad Witch. And it's really simple. No one expects something good from you, so you don't have to satisfy some expectations.
The
So it's
villains
good.
have more fun. They, you know,
Yeah, I think so.
they can be a bit more out there.
What about playing kind of psychopath?
I just did one recently that was fairly psychotic. It's just come out called My Husband. My Husband is an American Hero. And the premise behind this is this widow and her daughter are on their way to the military funeral for their husband. And on the way there, they happen to bump into this rich older couple who start to make trouble for her, and then they all end up at this funeral together. And most of the vertical takes place in this one funeral. So it's not like you know, most stories where you sort of,
not
you
a
know,
banquet scene, it's a
yeah, not a
funeral
banquet
scene.
scene.
Okay.
You know, it's all linear. It starts at, I don't know, whatever it is, 10 a.m. in the morning, and then, you know, it goes just through in real time following this woman and the horrific things that happen to her at this funeral, because no one believes that she's the widow
Okay,
of
it's
the
a
husband.
typical one where
Yeah,
one
yeah,
hour
yeah.
it's simply the question, is she a fraud or not?
Yes, yeah. And everyone is horrific to her. It just treats her so abominably. And I sort of walk in halfway through the story and, you know, have a guard dog attack her and, you know, slam her head into the coffin, you know, just as you do. You know, it's like I said, quite psychotic.
Which platform is it? Do you know?
Stardust TV.
Okay. Okay. Because I haven't heard this title yet.
It's very, very new. So,
yeah, I will check that. I will check that, even if I'm not the fan of massive violation in vehicles against women.
Oh, it's horrific. It got to the point where it almost became parody, sort of by the how long were we shooting? We were shooting for, I think it was a 9-day shoot. By the even the third day, I think we, like, you know, something would happen to the actress in the 10 pages or so we were working on at that particular point in time, and everyone would just stop and laugh because it just got so over the top so quickly. That it was hard to take it seriously at times.
When did you start acting?
I started acting, oh God, it was maybe 2008 or something like that, 2006 maybe. I went into drama school in 2011, straight out of high school, and graduated in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was doing theater and short films, feature films, things like that.
Was it always a dream job to being an actor as a kid? Or did you ever said, I want to get a policeman or a firefighter? And or was it
well,
clear
as
for
a,
you?
As a little boy, before I realized that you could be an actor like the people on screen that I enjoyed watching, I was obsessed with dinosaurs. So as a little kid, I wanted to be a paleontologist. That was my yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Apparently it was very disconcerting, because as a little, you know, kid who hadn't even gone to primary school yet, I was reading like dinosaur textbooks for fun, and I'd be like spewing out scientific dinosaur facts.
Okay, so it turned out a bit different.
A little bit different, yeah.
Did you regret it?
No, I don't think so.
No? I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. In retrospect, I was always obsessed with stories. So my obsession with dinosaurs came from me just endlessly watching Jurassic Park on repeat. So, if it wasn't that, I was watching Aladdin, or I was watching, I was just watching movies all the
Yeah.
time. I was reading books. I was playing story-driven video games. It was always about stories.
Okay. Are you writing stories by yourself?
No, I've helped develop scripts, and I enjoy the collaborative process of developing the initial idea of a script, or developing a script once it's gotten past its first draft. But I
Yeah.
can't stand the sitting down to actually write.
You're not patient enough or what?
No, definitely not.
No. Maybe you have to record it per your voice. Huh?
I mean, I have actually written a couple of short films, but that's about the length that my patience will run to.
But maybe you can write every day an episode?
I mean, I do have some ideas that I'm kicking around, but nothing that's solid yet. I
The
mean, I
muse
understand
haven't
how the
kissed you yet, or what?
Sorry.
The muse haven't kissed you yet to write it down.
Let's say they've given me a gentle peck.
Do you have a role model in acting?
A role model. Well, the reason that I wanted to get into acting was I was watching Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean. That was the initial thing that made me go, I want to do this. And so,
Because of the storyline, because of the
because of his
ship,
performance,
because of the pirate ship, or
because of the
because
puppets,
of Johnny Depp, because
because of Johnny Depp
he played
and
so well and so
his work.
funny. He played
Oh
so
yeah,
funny.
and it was not written like that at all. So it was a completely straight, male lead, something you could probably pull from a vertical script, like very, very straight
Absolutely,
and stoic.
absolutely.
And Johnny Depp comes in and he's like, this is the way I want to do it. And the Keith Richards and the drunkenness and all of that.
Yeah.
And so that would probably be the first one. I think Daniel Day-Lewis is another person that I'm obsessed with in terms of the work that that he does. His sort of commitment to developing and creating a character that you can sit with and believe and follow. It's just out of this world. Like in Gangs of New York, he had a glass eye, and so he taught himself how to be able to tap the glass eye with the point of a knife, because he thought that would be something that Bill the Butcher, his character, would do. So it's just a level of absolutely insane commitment. Now, it's similar to Tom Cruise as well. His commitment to just telling the best story that he can.
You started very early filming Verticals in 2023. When you look back to your first one and to your last one, your shot, what has changed?
A lot, really. The clarity of the scripts and the vision, the production values are higher. Verticals were still figuring out what they were when I started shooting them, and we were all trying to figure out what they were as well, at the time. And now, it's become a very recognizable sort of way of storytelling. And it's interesting that the format has almost become synonymous with the genre, in that when you say verticals, people people don't just go, oh, verticals as in something that's framed vertically. They also go, oh, it's, you know, a soap opera-y romance kind of thing. It's sort of a little bit fantastical. The characters are all broadly drawn. Yeah, and it will be interesting to see what happens with that going forward. You know, I forget, I think it was a casting director in Canada made a post comparing them to pulp novels from the 50s in America, you know, like detective stories and whatnot. And it made me think about the sort of evolution of film. You know, you had the noir period in film. Everyone was a detective, and you know, there was the femme fatale, and you know, you had a very particular style with how that all went. And then you know, it went a little bit further, and then you had the westerns, and then you had the indie films of the 70s and 80s, and then the mainstream films of the 90s, and then the blockbusters of the 2000s. So it'll be interesting to see whether there's an evolution in terms of that.
What change you want to wish for the future for the Verticals?
I mean,
or improvement?
I would like to see sort of what I was just speaking about, a bit of an evolution and a broadening of a scope of what they could be. So when you say verticals, people don't immediately associate them with one very particular narrow set of storylines and possibilities. And I think that it's already starting to head that way. Something, was it called The Game or something along those lines?
Game of Choice.
Yeah, game of choice.
It just released on Tall Flicks. Yeah, it's kind of totally new one. We spoke also about it in the recap with the advice, don't watch it before you're going to bed because you're getting nightmares out of it.
Yeah, cool.
And that one is, have you saw Squid Games?
I know of Squid Games, but
it's very similar to Squid Games.
A bit
more horrifying.
Yeah.
And that's a total a new point of vertical stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so even if it's so full of violence, in that case it makes sense. But it's no lovey-dovey billionaire banquet scene, stepmom, stepdad, shit. You know what I mean? It's a very fresh type of new story.
Well, yeah. There we go. It's already starting to happen.
Yeah, but I think that shooting this was more expensive than a classical vertical one.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm not sure if some platforms are willing to take a risk for some new stuff. As long as the old stuff sells, you know, and they get their numbers with the old stuff, I'm not sure if they're willing to take risks for new stuff.
Of course. Well, I mean, they're, a lot of the platforms are all very metric driven. So, you know, eventually, people will become tired of the same story, and so that evolution will happen.
I'm already tired.
Yeah.
Because if you start watching it from the beginning, the story repeats
since
at the beginning of this year. It's always same story. Sometimes it's exactly the same story with only two or three different casts and then released on nearly the same days.
Yeah.
But for example, you said you shot also one for Viglo. Viglo is one of the platforms with type of new stories. They are willing to take the risk. There are a lot of different, not so classic ones, like for example, Reshort or some other platforms are doing. So my hopes are in Viglo and also Candy Jar. Candy Jar has really nice and great stories, and they are doing a lot of stories based on book stories. Non-scripts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then it's more great to watch stuff there because sometimes the quality got less. Some of the big platforms published lately, I think 7 or 8 new shows per week. And for the audience, it's totally overloading and you don't know what you should watch. And when you watch one, it's always the same shit. Sorry for saying that in this case, but I love it more that some platforms like Vigloo or Candy Jar or stuff like that take their time to produce new shows and maybe release only 2 shows per week and not 6 or 7 or 8, or maybe let's say 5 shows per month sometimes. But these shows are much more quality stuff like the others.
Cool.
I think the revolution comes from the smaller platforms than
I think
from,
so.
From
well,
the
they,
big farm.
Yeah, they'll be the ones that are more willing to innovate and try new things because they've got the incentive to build up their audience base.
Hopefully. I'm hoping for it. You know, the thing is, for example, on Real Short, a weekly membership costs me here in Germany at the moment for 1 week, 25 euros.
Wow.
So the audience has to pay a lot to watch stuff. So I think we can expect good stuff for that kind of money. And, you know, insanely, a yearly membership on Candy Jar is at the moment 70 euros.
Wow. Yeah.
And a yearly membership on Real Short is actually 250 euros at the moment.
Oh, that's a big discrepancy.
Okay, Real Short has more shows.
Yeah.
But if you reduce it to quality good shows, you can go to Vigloo or Candy Jar because there you have to pay less for your yearly membership. You get less shows, but quality is much better. So I think that's kind of difficult at the moment because also a lot of new shows drops with the new platform. I have at the moment 49 apps on my hand, on my smartphone for verticals.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we need a bit improvement in this platform stuff. That's at the moment a bit, everyone wants to make money out of verticals. But some of them totally uncontrolled.
It's the same in the traditional filmmaking landscape as well. Every studio is creating their own streaming service, and so you if you want to watch Yellowstone, you go to Paramount. If you want to watch Welcome to Derry, the new horror series, you got to go to HBO Max. If you want to watch and then you've got local ones as well. So, you know, in Australia, we've got one called Stan, which has Australian show. It just, you know.
So for the audience, it's not nice.
Because
everywhere you have to pay that you can watch.
We need
a kind of cash cow or something like that. No, to be honest, I really love to watch verticals because sometimes it's really entertaining.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
If you have to pay a lot of money for holy moly shit, no.
Yes.
No. That
well,
is not
sure.
So motivating.
Yeah, you want to make sure, especially if the memberships are so expensive as you're saying, that the value you're receiving from them is justified.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, do you also some horizontal stuff at the moment?
I just finished shooting a feature film. It's called Hashtag Tommy Must Die. I'm Tommy.
Tommy Must Die.
It's
That's more creative title.
I mean,
That's really cool.
It's about a narcissistic social media influencer who gets kidnapped and his torture gets live streamed globally. So that's yeah, it's sort
Yeah,
of like
but you know, it sounds, no, that sounds silly, but the social media stuff, I don't, for example, I don't understand why there are more verticals with the storyline about dating apps or social media stuff, you know, more actual down to earth and real life themes than every time this whole billionaire stuff like that. Why?
It's sort of a fantasy and a bit of escapism, I guess, is
Yeah, the fairy tale Cinderella story
yeah.
shit.
They're a modern sort of fairy tale, exactly.
Yeah, but why always a billionaire?
Well,
More, you know, more color worker or stuff like that would also be nice.
I think so. My favorite ones are the ones where the billionaires are disguised. So he's a firefighter, or he's a Manny, or he's a homeless guy, or
Back to real life, you know? Why not? What is for you an absolutely no-go in a script so that you would decline a vertical role?
I mean, I haven't declined a vertical yet, and I've played a lot of bad guys, but I think I don't know. Even with my husband as an American hero, I struggled a little bit with some of the shock value through it, and I think I would be more cautious in the future about a story that relied so heavily on outrage porn just to tell a story. I mean, look, we all had a great time filming it, but there were certain moments where everyone was like, oh my God, this is the thing that's happening now. Jesus Christ. It's I don't know. It's a tough one because these verticals do have that element to them, and it's interesting because there's a lot of frustration with that, but the platforms keep doing it, and so it must be bringing them in some revenue. It'll be interesting to see if they start to move away from that. And I think recently I saw someone talking about a trend that there are a lot more wholesome storylines coming out recently. I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere.
I'm hoping at the moment for some good Christmas verticals because all the Christmas verticals who got released in the last years, there were never so much violation in it because, you know, Christmas, happy family days, and there are more kind of stories of that.
Awesome, and
Yeah. And I really like that one. But lately, there haven't been much vampire stories also coming out. I don't know what happened. But
Well, I
I
mean,
really like the
that's not
vampire
good.
ones.
That's not good for me. I tend to do well with the vampire ones. So bring some more vampire stories, then I can, get some more gainful employment.
Yeah, to be honest, you wanna get more nice costumes, don't you?
Yeah, that's the real reason. It's the costumes. That's
It's the
all I care
costumes.
about.
Yeah, I count. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, it wasn't so hard to see right through you.
To figure it out. Yeah, to see it right through me.
Shit.
Nuts.
when you started doing verticals, did you watch your first verticals after they got out? to see how some scenes turned out or how this whole thing was looking in the end?
I don't tend to watch a lot of my own work, so I skimmed through. I had a look at some of the scenes that I was interested in, and I tend to do that for the verticals that I'm in. But yeah, I don't generally tend to sort of sit back and examine my own work when it's done, and maybe
No?
that's something that I should do. But no, I just I sort of watch it, and I'm like, oh yeah, at that particular moment in that take, I was thinking about what we were gonna have for lunch, and like, so you know,
No, maybe you watch it with friends and family, I don't know.
there's usually a couple of scenes that I'm always curious about, in every vertical to see how they turned out,
Yeah.
and I'll always check it to sort of see whether the sort of idea in my mind of how that was going to play out turned out that way. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but it's usually interesting to see. Yeah. Even with the horizontal stuff that I've done, the short films and features, I'm very like find it hard to engage if it's my own work.
Does your family watch your verticals?
No.
No? Are they not
No.
that, look, that's our son, or that's my nephew, or whatever?
Not really.
No?
No.
Would they be scared if they would watch it, and would they be thinking, what the heck? That's not the Anthony we know.
Probably not. I think they would be looking at me like, what kind of face are you pulling there, Anthony? What's this? My parents have always been very supportive whenever I've done theatre. I used to do a lot of theatre. I haven't done much recently, but they would come and watch those. But yeah, in terms of film work, no, not so much. But it doesn't bother me. Whenever I do one of these things, I just hope that the people who the target audience that whatever project I'm in is being made for, I hope that they enjoy it, and that's enough for me. So if it's something that I'm doing that I think any of my family members will enjoy, then I'll definitely send it through to them. But I don't really friends or family, I never want to have an expectation that they should watch something that I'm in just because I'm in it, because that's not why I'm doing
No,
it.
maybe your mom, for example, is the typical audience group
No,
to watch verticals. Do they
she
know
likes
what verticals are?
British. She likes British dramas. That's her thing. She'll
Oh,
watch,
British dramas.
like the police shows and
Okay, got
oh,
it.
what's the J James Herriot, the guy who goes around the English countryside looking after people's pets. That's her deal.
They know what verticals are?
Yeah, I've had to
Yeah.
explain it to them.
How did you
Yeah.
explain it?
Whenever I'm explaining it to someone, I usually just grab my phone. I'm like, well, you know how everything's filmed like this, right? And everyone's like, yeah. I'm like, it's filmed like this. And then, what? And then I'll
What?
usually just like find a scene and I'll be like, it's
This, you
this.
know, the thing is, one of my cousin saw that I started a new podcast, and I'm talking always about this vertical stuff in that. So she sent me, I think 2 weeks ago, in WhatsApp a message and said, listen, Michaela, I have to ask it now. What is this vertical thing? And I said, it's kind of streaming for the smartphone, kind of serious. You can only watch on your smartphone, not in TV or anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, you know, there are some apps, streaming apps, to watch them. And yeah, it's round about 1 hour. It's kind of a small film. You can watch only on your handy. Aha.
Yep.
She said, aha. Okay. No, it's always so, as I told you, in Germany, it's not so common. And a lot of people are not really understanding why I'm doing an own podcast for this stuff now, you know? Okay, to be real, when I heard first that there is an intimacy coordinator on a set, I was like, what? An intimacy coordinator? What? Why? And then I saw a few verticals and I, okay, totally understandable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we will see how this will went. You know, the thing is, I'm not sure in which way the verticals will turn out. What will change? I'm hopefully will have some kind of new storylines, but I'm not sure what else would be great for the verticals to give them a bit more push also.
To be honest, I think that will be the main thing. I think as well, if you could to like for example, Real Short did Pride and Prejudice, right? I think if you were to expand the market and bring more people on board, doing more recognizable stories, things that people are familiar with in a vertical format. So, Pride and Prejudice or I don't know, The Importance of Being Earnest or something like that, would give people an excuse to sort of jump on board. Because it's a strange thing that if you're not used to it, you might just dismiss it out of hand. But if you're like, Viglu did Romeo and Juliet. Oh, that's really interesting. I'll go and check that out. And then, you're on the platform, you're like, oh, I do like vampires as well. So we're going, and then it
That's
sort of
true.
snowballs from there. Yeah.
Do you miss sometimes the theater stuff, because there you have the audience direct in front of you and get feedback directly.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like the adrenaline of being on stage and waiting in the wings for your moment to go out and work with your other actors in front of an audience. Sadly, in Australia, there's not a big theatre culture. It's a very, especially the big theatre companies, they're very insular as well, so it can be hard to sort of get your foot in the door. I have been very lucky to do some really cool plays, but I'm focused more so on film now because there's more opportunities.
Opportunities like what?
Oh, opportunities to go to China, for example, and shoot a vertical or do a feature film and have it seen by a lot more people.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Would you take a role that would demand something like playing deaf or blind or something like that? Because that's really, I think, different to get into this character.
Probably
Because
not for a vertical.
lately there were dropped a lot of sh no, a lot, many shows with someone is deaf or blind in it, and I was so fascinating how the actors acted sometimes the roles. because you have so natural reflexes when you are seeing stuff, that I think it's so hard to play the role really well
Agreed.
when you have to intend to be blind. So I'm not sure if it's for everyone easy to act like that so that it looks respectful at the end.
Yeah, probably not for a vertical, purely because you don't have the time to work on it. If I was gonna do something like that, I would need, you know, the time to prepare and the time to get used to making that work with my own body and my own physicality. And unfortunately, production timelines are very fast with verticals. So
not so easy like playing a villain.
No.
Is a villain already in your blood or what? Or are you the villain type in private also?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know. It just suits me well. And so I lean into, you know.
You feel comfortable with it.
yeah, exactly.
Did you ever get out of the villain skin in private life? Or do you have a little bit of villain always inside of you?
Wow. I mean, the greatest performances always come from a place of truth, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a little bit of dark soul.
Maybe.
I like that, you know.
Thank you.
I have a sister. She's blonde. She's totally different to me.
Yeah.
And in my case, no one expects anything. In her case, everyone is expecting, well, good thing, nice things, you know. So
It can be easy to be the black sheep sometimes. No expectations.
Yeah, but I have the black hairs. You don't. But it's near to black. It's fine.
It's pretty close to black. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
We'll
it's okay. In the video, it looks like kind of black, so it's fine. It's good. Anthony, at the end of every episode, I'm asking a 5-question quickie. Everyone
is
saying.
Let's do it.
First question: what's your favorite dish? Because I always judge people by eating. Sorry.
Oh, my favorite dish. I'm gonna say pad thai. When I flew back and had a stopover in Thailand, this was a few years ago from Turkey, and in the airport, I had the best pad thai I've ever had in my life.
Was it a small, really small shop where some 2-3 people made it on traditional recipe, not kind of fast food restaurant?
It was just in the airport. It was just an airport restaurant, and yeah, it was kind of small, but it was awesome. It was so good.
That's mostly the best places.
Well, I'm keen to go back to Thailand and, you know, get a proper pad thai.
For the pad thai.
only for the food. Yeah, only for the food and the culture.
Then you
yeah,
have to go it. To it. Then you have to go to Italy, Anthony.
I would love to go to Italy.
Italy and food is, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's food porn, really. You need an intimacy coordinator for the food in Italy. Totally. Totally.
I'm going to remember that if I ever go to Italy.
Keep me in your mind. Keep me in your mind. If you ever shoot in Italy, keep me in your mind. Okay, when you are in Italy, then you can call me because that's not so far from here.
Yeah, exactly.
I will come over. You know, it's not so.
Sounds good.
From here to Milano, to Milan, it's only 1 hour 20 flight, stuff like that. So,
oh, damn. Yeah.
Cool. As I told you, we're in Europe very close.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, what's your favorite film? What kind of film do you like to
watch? The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Watch the extended editions. Get the it's cinema peaked with The Lord of the Rings. That's it. It's been a gradual downhill slope since those movies came.
I haven't even seen Game of Thrones.
Oh, I mean, Game of Thrones has some amazing moments, but The Lord of the Rings is just perfection on cinema. Yeah.
Okay.
Go and check those out.
Maybe. I was told this now the 3rd or 4th time. Maybe I should consider it.
I think so.
Okay. And what's your favorite song? What puts you in a good mood in music?
Favorite song is Rocky Road to Dublin. And I like the version done by the High Kings.
Rocky Road to Dublin. What kind of music is that? I don't know this.
It's like Celtic Irish music. So I like the
Great.
Yeah, Spanish guitar or Irish music.
Irish music is so great. I had in my big garden, I have a big garden, as I told you, I'm hosting every year a garden concert. And it's kind of VIP concert, only 60 visitors, big finger food buffet and international artist, and in 1 year I had a singer from Ireland, and he did so great Irish folk music only with his guitar unplugged, and he did a lot of this vocal, old Irish vocal songs, and that was so fantastic. That was so great. Yeah. Have you ever been in Ireland?
No, I've been to England a few times, but most of the time most of my trips was when I was younger and it was my mum visiting family. So
yeah.
I haven't made my way to Scotland or Wales or Ireland yet. But
I spoke with Dan Lowenstein, the UK director, and we agreed that we need to shoot a vertical in Scotland because of the landscapes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. That would be really cool.
Or Ireland also. I think that would be also nice shooting areas for verticals. You know, kind of Celtic verticals with or Viking verticals?
That'd be pretty cool.
Maybe. That would be really nice. Yeah, I think so. When I would come to you and said, listen, I want to start watching vertical, which one of your verticals you would advise me to watch?
For a good, wholesome vertical, I'd recommend Cinderella's Royal Secret, the first one I shot in China. It's nice and fun, great characters. Yeah. And a solid storyline. Cinderella's Royal Secret, it's on Carlos TV.
On Carlos. Okay.
Yeah.
I have to check it out. Last question. What genre you want to get new or see more in verticals?
Some vampire ones. I enjoy playing in that world. So, yeah, let's bring back some more vampire verticals.
Yeah, we know because of the costumes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but they could have done more vampire ones now for Halloween. I don't understand it.
Yeah, they definitely could have. But maybe next year.
Hopefully. Fingers Hopefully. Crossed. There is still hope, you know? There is still hope.
There's always hope.
Yeah, we have to keep hoping and going. Otherwise, we cannot see any improvement.
Of course.
Anthony, thank you so much for your time and for talking to me in your early morning. I hope you are not too sleepy now.
No. About to go actually and shoot a short film now. So perfect timing to wake me up and get my brain firing on all cylinders. So
Yeah,
thank you
you
very
got your
much.
brain totally in the shooting stuff now. Okay.
Exactly. Thank you so much
So
for having me, Michaela.
it was such a pleasure. Thank you so much. And if you ever go to Italy,
I will message you.
thank you, Anthony.
Thank
Bye.
you. Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.